Guardian Unlimited.
Andrew O'Hagan is the author of The Missing and three novels, most recently Be Near Me. He has been shortlisted for the Booker and the Whitbread, and in 2003, Granta named him one of our best young British novelists. He's here in the pod today to talk about his latest book, A Night Out with Robert Burns. Hello, Andrew.
Hi there.
And I believe, to kick off, you're going to read us a few of your favourites.
Yes, indeed. It's always my hope that a reading of Burns in an Ayrshire accent may turn people onto him who might otherwise find it difficult to understand what he's all about. I'll do three poems. The first is a love poem, perhaps the last love poem he wrote before he died. He wrote it in response to the loveliness of the serving girl who was working in his house and attending him as he died. It's called "O Wert Thou in the Cold Blast." O wert thou in the cold blast on yonder lea, my plaidie to the angry earth, I'd shelter thee, I'd shelter thee. Or did misfortune's bitter storms around thee blaw, thy build should be my bosom to share it all, to share it all. Or were I in the wildest waste, see black and bare, see black and bare, the desert were a paradise, if thou wert there, if thou were there. Or were I monarch of the globe, with thee to reign, with thee to reign, the brightest jewel in my crown would be my queen, would be my queen. The second is addressed to the haggis, which is ceremonially recited on Burns nights as the haggis is split and carried in and split as a celebration of that great, honest Scots fare. Addressed to a haggis.
Fare for your honest, sonsy face, great chieftain o' the puddin' race. Aboon them all ye tak your place, Penge, tripe and therm. Weel are you worthy of a grace as lang's my arm. The groaning trencher there you fill, your hurdies like a distant hill, your pin would help to mend a mill in time o' need, whilst through your pores the dews distill like amber bead. His knife, say rustic labour dight, and cut you up wi' ready sight, trenching your gushing entrails bright like ony ditch. And then, oh, what a glorious sicht, warm, reeking, rich. Then horn for horn they stretch and strive, deal tick the hindmost, on they drive, till all their wheel-swalled kikes belive are bent like drums. The old gidman mayst like to rive, Bethinkin hums. Is there that o'er his French ragout, or oleo that would stow a sou, or fricassee would make her spew wi' perfect scunner, looks down wi' sneering scornful view on sic a dinner. Poor devil, see him o'er his trash, as feckless as a withered rash, his spindle shank a good whiplash he never knit, through bloody flood or field to dash, oh how unfit. But mark the rustic haggis fed, the trembling earth resounds his tread, clap in his waily neave a blade, we'll make it whistle, and legs and arms and heads will sned like taps a thristle. Ye powers, wha mak mankind your care, and dish them out their bill of fare, old Scotland wants nae skinking ware that jops and luggies, but if ye wish her grateful prayer, gie her a haggis.
People sometimes forget how political Burns was, not only in the use of that language against standard English, but also in his empathy for poor unfortunates who are cast out of their houses. This is really a very political poem to a mouse. It's thought to be cute and lovely about small animals, but in fact, it's a great shout of freedom against the tyranny of landlords. To a mouse, and turning her up in her nest with the plough, November 1785.
Wee slicket coorin' timorous beastie, oh, with a panic's in thy breastie, thou needna start away sae hasty, wee bickering brattle. I would be laith to run and chase thee, wee murdering pattle. I'm truly sorry man's dominion has broken nature's social union, and justifies that ill opinion which makes thee startle at me, thy poor earth-born companion and fellow mortal. I doubt na whiles that thou may thrive. What then, poor beastie, thou maun leave? I daemin ickerin a thrave sa sma' request. I'll get a blessing wi' the lave and never miss it. Thy wee bit hoosie too, in ruin, it's silly was the winds are strewin', and nothing now to big a new ane o' foggage green. And bleak December's winds ensuin' baith snell and keen. Thou saw the fields laid bare and waste, and weary winter coming fast, and cosy here beneath the blast thou thought to dwell, till crash the cruel coulter passed out through thy cell. That wee bit heap o' leaves and stibble has cost thee mony a weary nibble. Now those turned out for a' thy trouble, but hoose or hauled, to thole the winter's sleety dribble and cranrich cauld. But, Moosey, thou art no thy lane, in proven foresight may be vain. The best laid schemes o' mice and men gang aftergley, and lea us naught but grief and pain for promised joy. Still, thou art blessed compared wi' me. The present only toucheth thee, but och, I backward cast my ee on prospects drear, and forward, though I canna see, I guess and fear.
Oh, lovely language. Thank you very much, Andrew.
You're welcome.
There are many Burns collections around. What exactly drew you to create this one?
I feel that there's something that can happen to classic canonical writers in Britain as elsewhere, which is that they can become slightly dead in the pages of the collected works. There they are in all their 800 poem glory, not being read because it's overwhelming for people. It's too much. The glossaries are often out of date. There's no way that these poems are introduced in the canonical settings. So I noticed a few years ago when I was doing readings around the country and would sometimes throw some Burns in, that people weren't reading them. Young people specifically weren't familiar with the poems. They were familiar with the icon, with the cult of Burns and the life. But the poems needed, I think, reintroducing in an attractive way. So I chose the 40 greatest poems. It's a greatest hits album. You know, it's a shot in the arm for people who need a bit of Burns in their life. And I think that we all do a bit. He has the religious and political outspokenness that our times demand.
So you chose his 40 greatest and have written little introductions to each one.
Yeah, I wanted it to be a sort of partnership in a way. More than most poets that one can think of, it occurred to me that Burns would probably, in his conviviality, would probably suffer to have the companionship of a junior writer of prose, you know, introducing him and provoking him, egging him on, like somebody with, active elbows in the pub. That was how I saw it. You know, it's called A Night Out with Robert Burns. It is the greatest poems, and he's the main man. The event's all Burns. But I'm there to prod and provoke and to give readers, perhaps, a notion of how to get into each poem. I put up a little prose introduction in front of each one, as you say, and I think that helps perhaps readers, especially those who are new to the work, to get a feel for what the poems are doing and what the political forces that are very active in the poem are all about.
Because that's an interesting side to Burns. I mean, sort of readers know A Red Red Rose and Auld Lang Syne, but there is a section on the sort of political Burns.
Yes, that's the thing that is often missed out. You know, since Burns has become such a cult, and as I say, he's an icon of an international romantic icon of a suffering poet. in some ways, and of certain Scottish virtues. You know, a poet who likes a drink, who falls in love easily, who's a bit tempestuous in his affairs. But in fact, Burns was so much more than that. The reason we remember him and the reason he was such a revolutionary in literary terms was because he really used language and a precision of form to get right inside certain enduring aspects about humanity. He had a quality of empathy as a writer, which made him innately political. He couldn't see a mouse in a field shivering in the cold, having been unhoused by his plough, without feeling that it was an opportunity for kinship, for empathy, for political camaraderie, that he too was a poor man who could be unhoused by landlords at any point. And so he says to that moosey in the field. And there are very few poets, to my mind, who could really convincingly convey empathy in a setting like that. I mean, Shakespeare could do it, but he would fill the air with thunderbolts and clashing philosophies, whereas the great thing about Burns is that he's very human. He just simply reaches out and touches the whiskers of that mouse.
Do you think that's why he has such a hold on the popular imagination, and particularly of the Scots?
I think so. You know, he is the great, you know, saint of plain speaking. And I think in our time of clashing ideologies and even more so clashing rhetoric, of multimedia frenzy and confusion, that it's possible that that simple-seeming poet who can convey the most essential human dignities, qualities and debates in lines that are utterly memorable, well, that's a great boon for any age. And I would imagine now, as much as any time, we have need of that simple-hearted but philosophically complex man to speak to us about what it means to have a national identity, about what it means to hate difference or to be frightened of difference. Burns is your man for all of that, and not just for Scottish people either, but he speaks in a very international way, despite the very enormous, colourful difficulty of his language.
It is wonderful language. I mean, I loved your introductions. I was wondering, what else are you working on at the moment?
I'm actually putting the final touches to a book of collected essays, some of which appeared in the pages of The Guardian over the years. It's a book about the relationship between America and Britain since Thatcher and Reagan. And this story, as it were, is told through a series of essays which I've been writing through the years on everything from the trial of the boys who murdered James Bulger in Liverpool to my report from Hurricane Katrina, where I wrote 10,000 words from the ground during that crisis. There has been a story of a changed community, I think, between Britain and America, and of course finishing with our joint enterprise in Iraq. And so I tried to tell the story from one end of that argument to the other.
Modern political writer. A Night Out with Robert Burns is published by Canongate, price $12.99, I guess, at all good bookshops.
All good bookshops, and even I hope it's some bad ones.
And it's an absolutely lovely book. I thoroughly recommend it. Andrew O'Hagan, thank you very much for coming in to talk to us.
Guardian Unlimited.